Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Joshua Gale is part of Gale Bird. They are Charleston, South Carolina band built for the stage, delivering full band, high-energy performances. Welcome to the show, Joshua.
Hey, George. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, why you do what you do.
Yeah, so personal life, I'm married to band member Melissa, who's my wife, Melissa Gale. And we have four wonderful, beautiful children. Live here in the one of the most beautiful cities in the entire world, Charleston, South Carolina. Make country music. We think marriage is pretty awesome. We think music is one of the greatest ways to deliver a message. It is absolutely the most fun thing to do ever, is to play in a band with your best friends and put on a rock and roll show. There's nothing like it. But only a small percentage of people ever get to experience that. So we can combined everything that we love and got the attention of a label after our first EP. Signed a recording contract and kind of been in that process for the past 2 years of trying to write and record and put out some music that is not only enjoyable to listen to, but it's got an incredible message as well.
Well, I love it. I love music and wish that I would actually take the time to learn how to play it or play some kind of an instrument, but that's neither here nor there, Joshua, because you're doing it. So how long had y'all been a band before you released the initial album?
Yeah. So back in college, I met Sean Monahan in college, and he was one of the local greats of guitar. And he also plays piano and some other instruments as well. And I knew if I wanted to put together a rock band, you had to have a great lead guitarist. That was like School of Rock 101, right? And became friends with Sean, and we started quickly, you know, playing music. He was at the College of Charleston majoring in math and jazz theory. So, you know, a different perspective of music. Perfection was a big thing there. I'm everything but perfect, and want something raw, real, with all the mistakes, with all the good stuff in it, and the songwriting as well. That was a different perspective for him. But it was probably, you know, one of the most enjoyable things we got to do while in college. After playing music for a little while, came time to try to figure out how to pay bills. Once you get married and start having kids, music doesn't really make a lifestyle that's family centric. It's really hard to raise children, be present, be a good husband, or be a good wife if you're on the road all the time. We're trying to figure out a different way to do that now. But back then it was just, let's put pause on this for a while. It wasn't until about a decade later that, you know, once the kind of the tornado whirlwind of having children, kind of the dust started to settle just a little bit. I still had that itch to make music and to perform and to play in a band. I didn't want a garage band. I didn't want a cover band. I didn't want a bar band. I wanted to do music the way I wanted to do it. And Sean was on board. So we got into a studio. We started making music. And then the band was back together. And this time once we got with the label, we had to come up with a band name. And so we decided on Gale Bird, which is an old nickname from my childhood.
Oh, I love it. All right. So, I mean, so much has changed over that 10-year period. I don't know how much studio time. Maybe it's a lot less than it used to be. Maybe you could cut an album just using an iPhone these days. I don't know. But how is the technology shifted, and how important is that?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what it looks like now. 100,000 songs are released a day. So
Wow.
you're in a system where it's like, hey, you want to break through, but good luck because you're in a boat with 100,000 songs a day, not just like a year, but a day. And AI is now a part of that. So you'll start to see articles about Suno and other AI recording stuff. You mentioned earlier you don't know how to play an instrument. Neither does everybody else using AI to create music. But it's going to be a good and bad kind of thing. It's going to be cr more crowded because of people using AI to create music, but you know what? That's their outlet. I've got a friend who's got he's a military veteran. He's got terrible PTSD. He's got injuries galore. He's got all these things. He loves using AI to make music to express how the heck he feels on his darkest days, but also maybe trying to give some hope for some other guys that are feeling the same thing. Good for him. Now when he tells me how many streams he's got and how much money he's making off that and that kind of stuff, it's like, all right, well, I'm putting in like 100 times the work. But it doesn't discount the fact that his feelings are real. His lyrics are real to him. AI does not do a great job of writing lyrics, in my opinion, at least at the moment. It may get better. So what we will see is that eventually everyone's going to adopt some part of using AI for music. So right now you'll see folks that will write a decent song. They'll record it on their iPhone as like a scratch tracker or, a kind of a pre-demo. And then you would make a demo out of it. And a demo would mean that you would pick like three or four instruments, and then you'd go into this, to your home studio, or if your label has like a demo rooms, you'd create a demo of that song to try to show the label, here's what I think this song can be, without just a guitar and a vocal. With AI now, and that would take like an entire day. You're tracking each instrument. You got to mix it together, try to figure out what you could pull in to give them the vision. Because at the end of the day, the label says yes or no. For an independent artist, they don't have to check in with anybody, and that's a big thing too. 100,000 songs a day, most of them are independent artists, and they can release whatever they want whenever they want. When you have a label that's behind you, they're saying, "Hey, I need you to write 50 to 100 songs, and then we're going to choose which song that we're going to release this month or this year." And so with AI, so you want to give the label your best shot. So you have to, number one, be able to say, I got to let this song die. The label doesn't see my vision. It's like giving your child to somebody and then saying, well, there's a lot of warts on it,
Really ugly kid you have there, Joshua.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to have the emotional intelligence to be like, okay, that's cool. Let's move on. Let's keep going. With AI, I can use AI to improve my vision that I'm giving to the label. And then I can run that song through Suno a couple times to see, like, it will never give you the same product over and over again. It'll always give you a different product. Just like when you try to create an image with AI, it'll always give you a different product. Something changed in it.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
And sometimes we'll ask it to show us what it would look like with female vocals, then we can really determine. AI will tell you if you have a good song or not. If it produces something that sounds like a hit, It'll sound like it, and then it'll also reveal where the where are the weakest parts in your song. That all of a sudden, like the whole song sounded great, but then it got to that one part. It was like, nah, it struggled to figure out how to even get between those two lanes. And so it'll reveal the good and bad parts of your song, but then it'll also help you create something that the label can catch the vision without having to let a song die because they really couldn't hear what was in your head because you didn't have 20 hours to put into it. So we're going to see more music. People are going to create music faster because once they get an idea out of AI, they can then go back and track everything a certain way. So that's really, the good and bad parts of it. We're going to have even more music, and it's going to be even more crowded. And then we're already fighting over profit share. We're already fighting over the pennies that they want to give us for our music. But now we got to figure it out. AI will never put on an incredible rock show. It just won't. And so we still have that going for us, and that's probably our favorite part of it all too.
It's interesting, right? I think it's all interesting. So thank you. So what is the perfect business plan if you're not making a ton of money from streams? Is it the live performances and selling tickets?
That's part of it. Part of it is the goal to find that one song that either goes, viral through social media or the right playlist picks it up. So if it's a Amazon curated playlist or an iTunes or Apple curated or a Spotify curated playlist, can put you in front of a really large audience. If radio sees it, worthy to pick up. And there's just a lot of different things. When you're not throwing all your marketing dollars at something, like some of the big three are. So the business plan is to keep playing music out, is to keep trying to reach as many people as possible, make content to share on social media, write, and then write some more. I think that's one of the keys to everything is you have to learn and get into a rhythm of writing as much music as possible. And then figuring out how to piece it all together. Our business plan is really, we got to figure out how to pioneer this while still being family centric. I don't want to do any of this if my family has to suffer. I don't get to coach baseball or soccer or basketball, or I don't get to witness all the first of this, that, and the other. It's not worth it, in my opinion. You've got plenty of artists that would give up anything, their entire career, if they could go back and be with their family off the road and witness all those things.
Got to be able to thread that needle, Joshua. So I was born in 1978, so I was raised during grunge, and I can't imagine that the Nirvanas of the world and the Stone Temple Pilots and Alice in Chains, that they were super organized and following along what we've just been talking about. They were just doing music and going and playing it, and that wasn't that long. It's been a long time. But then I look back to Bruce Springsteen's one of my favorites, and I think that he writes all of his own music. But then you got Elton John, and I don't think he wrote any of his music. So I've always valued the person that can actually write it and then get out there and perform it. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, I think you can always tell a connection when somebody really genuinely, authentically feels connected to a song. I had a song that came out early this year that I love. I think it's a great song. It was released by Chris Stapleton and Miranda Lambert. There was about, when you look on the song credits, there's about six or seven people on there, which means that the songwriter might have gotten involved, like the performer might have gotten involved way later in the process and might have changed a word or something like that. But I had a thought in my mind as I'm listening to the song that, man, this just feels very scripted. This feels very AI. If you've ever seen AI write lyrics, it's very surfacey. There's a whole algorithm process to it. It just feels manufactured. But the song was still really enjoyable. It had a 70s feel to it. It was something newer for country. I mean, that was the first thing Chris did when he got into country music was Parachute. It was like, okay, hold on, who is this? Is this like rock meets country meets, all these things? And he's still one of the greatest performers there ever was. But this didn't feel like that. then they performed the song on the Country Music Awards, and it was hard to watch. It was awkward. There was no energy. There was no conviction. There was no from the gut, this is it. And it was awkward too. It's not his wife, and his wife was over there singing BGV, you know, and she's incredible. Miranda acted like she had never sang the song in that key before. It was flat. It was pitchy, all that kind of stuff. It kind of ruined the song for me a little bit, you know, because I want to know that they really felt that way writing the song. Whether or not they're writing it about the person they're singing it with doesn't matter. It was, did they really feel that way about writing it? And I didn't pick up on any of that. You can tell. You can always tell. And you want to be able to tell. That's what makes us human, is that somebody has so much conviction about something, they put it into a song and put many, many, many hours into it, knowing that I'm not the only person that feels this way. I can't be the only person in a world of billions of people. Somebody has also felt like this, but I can't believe the lie that I'm the only person who's ever experienced this. And which is the lie we all tend to believe. God, nobody could understand what I'm going through. Nobody could possibly get this, you know? And so, yeah, I do appreciate when people write their songs. I do believe there comes a time when the person's in their music career where they're traveling too much to experience enough life to sit down and write. It takes a lot to write music. I think it's pretty hard to do it on a tour bus. It's pretty hard to do it with people that you get to smell their feet all the time walking around the tour bus and want to hang out even more in a writing room where you're extremely vulnerable.
So many challenges to it. I mean, yeah. It's like you're James Taylor and you've written some of the greatest songs, but are you sick and tired of singing the same effing song for, you know, but probably not. And that's really what, to a degree, that's what it means to be a professional, is that you are delivering this with the same enthusiasm and love as you did the first time. Easier said than done. And then, I'm now successful and I'm touring and I'm up with my eyeballs and everything. And now I need to write more music and find that same. So that's probably why it's really hard to be consistent and to keep writing. Like James 100%. Taylor, I don't know if he writes anymore.
100%. 100%. No, I've watched some interviews with him and interviews of his ex-wife and interviews of just a lot of different things. I mean, music can change people, you know, really quickly. You got people cheering for you every night. Of course, like, you know, it can really change a lot of who you are. I know he still appreciates his guitars and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he's got a dedicated place for everything, a studio, all that kind of stuff. I know his son sings, has incredible voice.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
But it's, you know, it's all trying to figure out, you know, what this looks like so that we're not prostituting the people with the gift. I think creative people, I know that's a big word to say that we're prostituting people, but I've always felt like creative people have always been prostituted for like what they can give. It's like, how good are you to like, what can you give me? Okay, I'm going to come pay you for that gift so that I can enjoy it. But that's all you're valuable to me. I don't care if you're traveling 300 days a year and your life's falling apart. You give me what I want. And that's, I think, creative people in every sphere of like business, people, leaders don't know how to treat creative people. Hey, can you turn it on for me real quick? Give me one of those good images that you like to make in Photoshop. Hey, can you turn it on for me real quick and kind of write me a a whole blog about X, Y, and Z. Hey, can you turn it on real quick? I pay you. You turn it on.
Dance.
Dance for me, right? That's like business prostitution. And people don't know how to treat creative people. And we don't appreciate them enough, number one. And number two, you know, I think creative people have gotten the wrong idea of what it means to be successful, and who their audience is supposed to be. What if your audience was never supposed to be millions of people? What if it was supposed to be your town or your family or your future children? You know, there's some days I sit there and think, man, maybe I just have a gift that I could teach my children so that they could be even better than I can, and that they can remember if I died tomorrow, I remember everything Dad cared about because he put it all in a bunch of songs. And I'll never forget that, because music will outlive all of us. We have music from a time in the world where they didn't even have recording devices. We had music written on pieces of paper that we could recreate today because somebody wrote it down, and we can hear what they heard 15, 16, 1700, but we don't, you know, because we have the paper. Music will outlast us all. The recordings of it, the words, the lyrics, the notes, all that kind of stuff. And, that's one thing I really appreciate about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It marks time and experiences, and it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Yeah. You look on the internet or whatever, and I read about how people are like, oh, so-and-so musician should be doing this, or I wish that they'd be doing that. I'm like, I don't want anything from Bruce Springsteen or from these people. They've given me so much. I could never possibly hope, you know, to give them anything back, and to be asking for more is just, it's like dance. Right. And we're going to rip you apart, Elvis, Britney, you know, Michael Jackson. We're going to squeeze everything out of you that we possibly can. And it's probably not going to work out great for you.
No. Or don't tell us your political views either, because then we're going to slam you and just resent you. Like, you are good for music. Give us music and then keep your mouth shut.
God, what was it? Eric Clapton just got pilloried or something, he said during COVID. It's like, whatever. It's
Bruce, look at Bruce with the bathroom bill kind of stuff in North Carolina or any of those guys. And, and it was like people turned on him, you know, and it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on or what your political ideology is. It's so funny how we can demonize somebody in a second, and after we've enjoyed them for so long, because we have a different thought process about them now. It's pretty crazy to me.
Yeah. We're so, that's just, it's also very human of us to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Stephen Pressfield. He wrote this book called The War of Art. And he's a writer. And so he talks about how you need to be professional and have a very professionalized process, because if you're just waiting for inspiration to come strike, it's never going to. So you have to summon the muse is his language. We'd love to hear about your writing process.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest quotes is, you want to become an overnight success, then just write every night. And that's it. It is not a huge algorithm. It's not listen to any songwriter who's got a multi-million dollar, not just the songwriter. I'm not even talking about the person who performed it and sang it. I'm talking about the songwriter that you've never seen, heard, or met. They have been in the right place at the right time, and somehow the skies opened and heaven allowed them to write a great song. And then all of a sudden, after writing 300 songs that nobody liked, they had this one. And then an artist said, I want to put that on my next record. And then their life changed as a songwriter. And then they knew, okay, what do? I just write 100 more songs, and maybe one of those will be great. And so they got in this process of writing music all the time. And that's what you have to do. It's a muscle. It's not easy at all. There are books and books, and, you know, sometimes you start with the practice of write about a hairbrush, pick an item in the room, write about it, get those creative juices flowing. There's a bridge between your mind and your heart, and that bridge is called creativity. And if you can tap into that to connect those two places together, then, you know, that's where it's at. For me, I don't want to write Josh's opinion. And you can listen to my music for 5 minutes and realize that I have faith. I'm a man of faith. I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what that looks like, what to devote my life to. I've had some spiritual experiences that nobody could ever take from me that were like, holy cow, like that's it. And not just, it comes back to words on a page too. I'm at a place in my life where I don't want Josh's opinion anymore. Like my opinion might not sound like the best opinion 5 years from now. Could have been completely off. That could be the worst advice in the world. It just made me feel good saying it. I don't want to write about my opinion so much as I want to write about what God thinks. And I'm trying to tap into that. Like, what does God think about X, Y, and Z? What did he already say about this thing? For me, and the faith that I've chosen, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, that has stood the test of time for over 2,000 years. And I think if it was a bunch of baloney, we would have already poked so many holes in it that it couldn't even still stand at all. And I've had so many spiritual encounters myself that even if you tried to poke as many holes as you could never take away what I've experienced. I'm trying to figure out how I can tap into what heaven thinks about our situations going on here on planet Earth. And try to tap into some of that as I write music, because what a shame, I met somebody when I was in New York this past week. And she's like, where are you? She worked at the airport, and I asked her about the MetroCard. The MetroCard has gone away now. It's got like 1 week left. So you don't use a MetroCard when you take the train in New York. It's a tap and pay with your phone like everywhere else. Incredible. Lots of scams will no longer be scams in New York City, trying to buy MetroCards and stuff like that. Tap and pay, get on the train, use Google Maps, get around. So I asked her, I said, do I have to buy a MetroCard? She said, oh, no, sweetie, it's just tap and pay now. She said, where are you from? And she's flirting a little bit, right? You're so cute. Where are you from? I said, from Charleston, South Carolina. And she said, oh, wow, I've never left the city. Can you tell me about Charleston? Do you guys have wolves? Do you have bears? She asked, and then do you have tigers? I said, at the zoo, we do, but mostly you might see like some bunny rabbits and some owls and some hawks and some different like waterfowl, because we're on the harbor. It's kind of like New York, but just much sunnier and warmer. It was like 70 this past week here when I got back from New York.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
But she said, I've always just, I can't make up my mind where I want to move, but I know I want to leave the city at some point. And I asked her, I said, hey, listen, have you ever asked God where he wants you to be? And she looked at me, she's like, I didn't know I could talk to God. And so I was like, okay, well, let's talk a little bit more. And I didn't have, I was, tra it was a travel day, so I didn't have much to do. And so we talked for a while, and her name was Elizabeth. And I explained to her what her name meant. Nobody ever told her what her name meant. And so kind of got to tap into that and just encourage her so much. And wouldn't it be a tragedy though if I never asked God what he wanted me to do or write about or present to other people? And so that's what I just try to do. I want to ask God, what do you want me to do? Because I don't think we get to be here very long. I want to make the most of it.
So how's that song go? I didn't know I could talk to God.
I didn't know I could talk to God.
Like I'm gonna write that song if you haven't already, Joshua.
Yeah, there we go. Let's use AI. We'll write it together. We'll teach AI how to talk to God somehow. Yeah, I didn't know I could talk to God, and it was but she was so encouraged. Showed her on the internet how she could send messages to our social media and all that stuff. I wanted to keep up with Elizabeth, and her brain was exploding, and bursting at the seams, so it was pretty great. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I don't want to do the same process that I think everybody else had to do. Obviously, it's not the same process to be a successful musician anymore at all. The big three, when I say the big three, I mean like the big recording studios and music groups. They didn't know what social media would do. So then they began to hire artists and sign artists that had blown up on social media, TikTok and Instagram. That did not turn into an audience that would come and listen to you play music. It didn't transfer. And so then they had to figure out, okay, like we don't have to spend all this money building a band, because normally before social media, they would spend money developing a band. They would have do all the press releases for them. They'd get them on the right TV shows. They'd get them on the morning shows. They'd get them on opening for other artists that were also under that label. They had a whole kind of system, and that's the way music worked. Nowadays, as an independent artist could blow up and stay independent, or they could blow up and then the music industry would say, okay, we'll give you this much because you're worth more. We got to pay you more. And then you have the industry now, they can watch an artist and know before the artist knows that they're going to become viral or a sensation. The music industry can see it coming first with all the tools that they have, sign the artist before the artist knows that they're about to blow up. And so where it's more favorable for the music group than it is the artist. I don't think it's going to always look like that either. I think it's going to be it's something different. And my opinion is if God's got it for me, it's on him to figure out. I'm just going to work really hard and do what I, think is best.
Well, I think that that's awesome. Do you think that that's a sign of maturity?
I think it's a sign of me one day having the understanding that I'm already known, I'm already seen, I'm already heard by my creator. I already won at the game of life. I married the most beautiful woman. I have four healthy children. I got a mortgage that I can pay. I've got really just so much joy already around me. Like this, like if I if you asked me if I was successful, I'd tell you I was beyond successful. So everything else gets to be a garnish on top. There's Psalm 27 is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And it says that if one thing that I ask, one thing that I seek, that I would be able to dwell in your presence and seek your beautiful face. Goes on to explain that everything else after that was just a cherry on top. And so if music got to be successful, that's a cherry on top of what I've already been given, and every need that I have is already met. If anything else besides all that, if my marriage ends up being incredible and my wife treats me so wonderfully well, that's a cherry on top. If my kids are obedient and respectful and they grow up to be incredible adults, it's a cherry on top. If it's everything else gets to be a garnish when you eventually come to this place where for me, God is meeting every single need that I've ever had, wanted, desired, everything. Do I have to still fight off like the selfishness? 100%. Do I still feel like I've been disappointed or hurt or offended or whatever? 100%. But I think, like, I've shared with some friends, offense is never given, it's taken. So if I said something today that offended you, you don't have to take it. I didn't give it so that you'd be, offended, even if I did. And it's another thing that I teach my kids as well is, when somebody else says something, if it really upsets you and gets you really emotional, they control your emotions more than you do. And all those things, yeah, I guess you could call it maturity, or you could just call it eventually just an understanding of a perspective that we could have in life. I think everything you walk through could be a different perspective. Some person may enjoy doing one thing really, really well because they have this right perspective, where the other person's perspective is like, what, I'm wasting time. This is ridiculous. I deserve better than this, all those different things. And so I think that's probably it's a perspective thing.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, Joshua, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people Absolutely. Learn more about you? How can they listen to Gail Bird? Give us all the spots.
Yeah. So I think one place is GailBird.com, GALEBIRD.com. That has your links to all the social channels, all the streaming outlets. So Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. And then it's got some of our bio. It's got our merch store link on there. The only way a smaller artist or independent artist really makes money is if people buy merchandise. So that's like the greatest gratitude or tip that you could give an artist is to buy merchandise. And that goes, right to the artist. Yeah, that's GailBird.com. Send us a message through our social channels. Let us know your favorite song. That means a lot to an artist as well.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Joshua your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to GailBird.com. Check out all things Gail Bird and Joshua and pick up some of the merch as a way to say thank you and also a way to look freaking awesome. Thanks again, Joshua.
Absolutely. Thank you, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.